Shalom to all. Today's office is Daf Pei Bav, and we're starting Pei Hamad Bei is the bottom line of the two dots with a quote from the Mishnah in Mevi and Lo Mevi's volume. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sarabas Miyakam Moshe Hernish Amal should have an Aliyah. So the following quote is going on the next part of the Mishnah where it said in Mevi and Pakton Vimhevi Kosher. They don't bring oil as Menachas from the type that's called Anpakton, but if one did it's Kosher. So now the Gemara asks, by the time you have a brass that says in Mevi and Pakton Pivav on the top Vimhevi Pasul, and if he brought it's actually Pasul, why is that Beneshu Sraf? That's because it's just Sraf. Sraf is often translated as sap. Over here is really just referring to liquid that comes out of the olive that's not considered oil, as it's just some sort of byproduct liquid of sort. It's like a juice, and it's not actually oil, so it cannot be used for menachos, even b'di'evid. Seeing the steer between this brass that we just quoted and our Mishnah. So Rav Yisvi answers like Kasha is no problem. Harab Chia, Harab Shin Bar Ebi. One is Rav Chia, one is Rav Shin Bar Ebi. Rav Chia, Zarek Lei. Rav Chia used to throw this unpacked away because he didn't treat it as oil, and therefore it wouldn't be good for menachos. Rav Shin Bar Ebi, Metabel Bay, Rav Shin Bar Ebi would actually use it, and he would dip his bread inside it, as that means that he was treating it as some form of oil, so even though it wasn't top quality, but the eved, if it was brought as menachas, it's valid. And Misimach had to remember who did what. Ashirim mekamtzin. Literally, this means that rich people are stingy, or they save, they gather. And Rav Shimon Rebbe was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's son, and he was extremely wealthy, and really he didn't need to use this low quality, low grade oil, but nonetheless he did use it, because often you find this with wealthy people, that they store, they gather, and they use things even though they're not top quality. And we discussed something related to the Mishnah. We have a pasuk in Megillas Esther that tells us shish chadashim shemen hamar, 6 months with shemen hamar. And the question is, my shemen hamar, what exactly is shemen hamar? So Avuna Bar Chiya Amar, he tells us sat chasa, it's this type of oil which some translate as balsam oil, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Bar Amar, he says shemen zayas shloi hevi shlish, it's olive oil from olives that didn't grow a third of their growth. And what does it have to do with the Mishnah? So Tanya have a braiso. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he tells us anpaknun, which is similar to the anpakton of our Mishnah, shemen zayas shloi hevi shlish, that's olive oil that hasn't grown a third. Why would one anoint with it? That's because it's very potent and robust. It removes unwanted hair, and it makes the skin smooth, and that's how one would use it. And one more explanation. The Mishnah said, no bringing menachas from olive oil that was extracted from the olive if it was soaked in water, or cooked, and a number of other things. And Tanarabon, we have a brass which is similar. Shemen zayis, olive oil that came from olives, which were kavush, pickled, shaluk, cooked, shari, soaked in water, vishal shmarim, or came from sediment, vishal reich ra, or had a bad smell. Lo yavi, one is not allowed to bring menachas from such oil. V'mehevi, if he does, pasul, it's pasul. Now by Rabbi, Rabbi asks, and we've had the same question multiple times, hegdisho ma'ashiyah ka'al v'mishum balmom, if a person is makdish such oil, he tried to consecrate it, make it kadosh, is he going to get malchus for being makdish a balmom? On one hand, keeping the pasul k'balmom dummy, since it's pasul, it's like a balmom, and therefore you get malchus. I don't perhaps ain't balmom el behema, maybe the isser being makdish a balmom is only with an animal, and this is not an animal, and the Gemara concludes, teiku. We discuss oil, the Mishnah tells us, shloisha zesim hein. There's three different times where we're going to be picking olives to make olive oil, and ubahen shlusha shlusha shmanim, each one has three different stages, meaning has three different types of olive oil. So we'll call those A, B, and C. These are three different types of olives, or the times that we're going to be taking these olives, and within each one of them there's three different stages or qualities of olive oil. That would be 1, 2, and 3. So that's Rishon, the first olives, Magagra Bersha Zayas, they're taken from the top of the tree. That's because they're most exposed to the sun, they ripen the quickest and they're the best, and they're pounded. Often we translate the word kaisesh to mean crushed, but over here they're not really crushed. They're put into a mortar and they're lightly pounded. That starts the juices flowing. So then where are they placed? They're put into a basket. It's like a wicker basket of sorts that has openings on the bottom. And then as the oil starts flowing out of the olive, which was just lightly pounded in the mortar, it goes through the bottom of the basket, and any sediment or pieces that might have gotten loosened up are going to get caught by the basket. So there's going to be pure olive oil flowing through. Or argues, and he says svivas hasal, they're actually put on the sides of the basket, not on the bottom. That's because he holds that it's filtered better as it flows down the side of the basket. And as I reshine, this is the first oil to come out. What's the next stage? Chazavatayin b'kaira. He then takes a heavy beam and places it on those olives that are in the basket. That squeezes them even more, enabling more oil to come out. Or is it because he argues ba'avanim, he places stones on top, and zasheni, that's the second squeezing of olive oil, and chazavatachan, then takes them and grinds them. This is done by taking them out of the basket, by putting them into a millstone, grinding them, which really is crushing them up. Then he puts them back in the basket, vitan, and puts the beam on them. Zeshlishi, this is the third drawing of olive oil, and harishon l'menaira, the first oil is good for the menaira, that's pure. We're going to discuss this in the Gemara. Vashar l'menachas, and the rest of the oil is from menachas. Now vasheni, what about this second type? This is going to be the second pickings of olives. Megagra b'resh hagag, he takes olives from the height of his roof. These are basically located on the middle of the olive tree, and if a person stands on their roof. They're able to get to these olives. V'kaisesh, and he pounds them. V'nasaseh chasal, and puts it in a basket. Where's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says over here as well. The sviva is a sal, it's put on the side of the basket. As I reshine, whatever oil comes out from this is considered the first. And tain b'kayir, then he puts on a beam. And Rabbi Yehuda, he says b'havanim. Stones are put on to squeeze it more. And zesheni, this is the second one. And chazer v'tachan, he now grinds them v'ta'an, and then puts the beam on again. Zeshlishi, that's the third drawing of olive oil from the second stage. And once again, harishon l'menayir, the first is for menayir, v'ashal menachas, and the rest is for the menachas. Now shlishi, the third type of olives that we're going to be using, oitnei b'beis habad ad shiyulke, these are packed away or stored away in the olive pressing area until they get struck. This basically is referring to olives on the bottom of the tree that didn't fully ripen, so they have to be packed together tightly in a barrel or in some sort of storage container. This causes them to ripen and become a little bit mushy. Now the problem is liquid starts flowing out of them, which is not desirable. Therefore, umaleu menagbe ber shagag, he brings them up and dries them at the top of his roof. Then kaisesh, they're pounded. V'nasaseh chasal, put inside the basket. And once again, Rabbi Yehuda, he says svivas chasal, it's put on the sides of the basket. And as I reshine it, there's a first drawing of oil and tain b'kayra, and a heavy beam is placed to them, pressing them even more. And once again, Rabbi Yehuda, he says bavanim, it's the stones. And zasheni, this is the second one. And chaz v'tachan v'tan, he then crushes and grinds them in a millstone and puts a heavy beam on them again. Zashlishi, this is the third one. And harish l'menayra v'shalom menachais, the first is for menayra, and the rest is for the menachais. First of all, the Gemara tells us, Yibayli, who asked the following question: Megargaroi tenan oy megalgaloi tenan? When we spoke about the first olives that were picked, do we use the lashon of megargaroi or megalgaloi? What's the difference? So megargaroi means that you pick each individual olive that you see that's ready, because not all of them are ripe. Or do we use the word megalgaloi, which means that we wait for them to stay on the tree until all of them are ripe, and then we pick them? And the answer is tashma. Tanya, we have a brisa, and right away from the beginning of the brisa, we're going to have an answer to our question, but it's going to be quite a lengthy one, very similar to our Mishnah. And it begins by quoting the pasuk Shemen Zayis. And what do we learn from here? Mizesoi, that the oil comes from the olive, which means the olive is so plump and juicy and ready and ripe that the oil is ready to come out right away. And Mikanamur, from here they said, the Zayis Rishon, the first olive which is picked from the tree and is going to be used in the production of olive oil, megalgaloi b'roish hazayis. So we see this lashon of megalgaloi at the top of the tree. V'kuntz l'beis habad, it's brought into the olive press. V'techne b'rechayim, it's ground with a millstone. V'nosim b'salin, it's placed inside baskets. Shemen yotze menu, the oil that comes out of it. Zehaya rishayin, that's the first oil. Then tan b'kayra, a heavy beam is placed on it. Shemen yotze menu, zehaya sheni, the oil that comes out of it now is considered the second drawing. V'chazar uparak tochan v'ta'an, then he takes it out, grinds it more, and puts the beam on it again. Zehaya shlishi, this is the third drawing of oil. Harishan Menorah, the first oil is good for the menorah, v'ashar l'menachas, and the rest is for the menachas. And v'chein zayis sheni, same thing with the second picking of olives. And v'zayis shlishi, with the third picking of olives, aitnu beis habad shilka, that's stored and packed away in the beis habad until it fully ripens. Uma al roish hagag, it's brought to the top of the roof. V'osoysay kimin tamara, then he makes it like a pile of dates, which is wide at bottom, narrow at top. Ad shizuvu meimav, until some liquid starts flowing. Then v'kuntz lebeis habad, he puts it into the olive press. V'toychna berchaim, and it's ground with millstone. V'nois besalin, put inside baskets. V'shamanu yotzei menu. And the oil that comes out of it now, Zahaya Rishon, that's the first drawing of oil. Tan Bakaira, then he puts the heavy beam on it. Shemenu Yetzei Menu Hayasheni, the oil that comes out of it now is considered the second drawing. And Parak, Chazar, V'tachan, V'ta'an, he now undoes it, grinds it again, and puts the heavy beam on it again. Zahaya Shlishi, that's the third drawing of olive oil. And here as well, we see Harishon L'Menayra, the first drawing of olive oil is from the Menayra, Vashal Menachas, the rest is from Menachas. Now in this Brisa, we have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as well. Rabbi Yehuda Imer, he tells us, he wouldn't grind it with a millstone in the beginning. He would pound it in a mortar, basically in a kli that's going to be pounded by hand. It's not fully crushing it. It's basically like a light squeezing or pounding just to get the oil flowing, but it's not a full-out crushing because that's going to cause too much sediment and pieces to come in. And also, he wouldn't put a heavy beam on it, rather with stones, because that accomplishes the same thing. It helps press more oil out while at the same time preventing too many pieces from breaking off, which would cause more sediment and perhaps cloudiness. And he also wouldn't put it in the basket, rather to the side of the basket. Bottom line is, as we already said before, from the beginning of this brisa, we have an answer to our question. The lashon is megalgaloi, not megargaroi. Now we just ask another question. Haguf akasha, it itself is problematic. What do we say in our Mishnah? That kaisesh, first he pounds the olive and money, Rabbi Yehuda, that's kalishitas Rabbi Yehuda, as we see Rabbi Yehuda says that in our brisa. But then what do we say in our Mishnah? Toi chasal, that the olives are placed inside the basket, meaning in the bottom of the basket, and asal the rabbanon. That's like the rabbanon of the brisa, because Rabbi Yehuda says that it's put on the side of the basket. So who's our Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbanon? And the answer is, the Tan of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one factor, but argues with him in another. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that we do not grind the olives right away in a millstone, and that's why the Tanakhama says that in our Mishnah, but he argues with him and holds that the olives are placed placed in the bottom of the basket and not in the sides. We continue discussing all these different levels of olive oil. Says the Mishnah, Harishin Sheberishin, the first drawing of the first olive oil, that's what we would call A1, Ein L'malah Hemenu, there's nothing greater quality than it. And Hasheni Sheberishin, Harishin Shebesheni, the second drawing of the first and the first drawing of the second, which is what we would call A2 and B1, Shavin, those are both equal in quality. And Hashlishi Sheberishin, Hasheni Shebesheni, Harishin Shebeshlishi, Shavin, this would be C1, B2, and A3. All those levels of olive oil are exactly the same. And Hashlishi Shebesheni, Vahasheni Shebeshlishi, the third of the second and the second of the third, which is what we would call B3 and C2. Shavin, those are equal. And Hashlishi Shebeshlishi, the third of the third, C3, Ein L'mate Menu, there's nothing lower quality than that. That's the poorest quality olive oil. The Mishnah continues, Af kol menachos ha'ibedin she'etenu shem zayezach. Really, all menachos should require shemen zayezach, which is the purest olive oil that's used for the menorah. All menachos really should require that type of oil. Why is that? Because ma menorah she'enu l'achila tu'una shemen zayezach, the menorah which no one's eating it, it's just lit as a lamp, that requires shemen zayezach. While menachos she'en l'achila, menachos which are eaten, in edin she'etenu shem zayezach, shouldn't we say for sure that they require shemen zayezach? So Talmud Lamed, so the pasuk says, zach kasas lama ar. And what do we learn from here? Ve'in zach kasas lama menachos, it doesn't need to be zach kasas for menachos, only lama ar for the menorah. So Gemara Peif Avim Beis on top, it begins by asking a question. Shavin, you said in the Mishnah that these levels of olive oil are equal. Va'amit, you had said, rishon l'menorah v'ashar l'menachos, that only the first drawing of oil is good for the menorah and the rest is for menachos. So how could you say that these levels are all equal? That's not true, they're not equal. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he answers, my shavin, what does it mean? Shavin l'menachos. It means if you want to choose which one to use for Karban Mincha, so these are all equal levels to be used for Karban Mincha. And you're right, only the first drawing is able to be used for menorah. We continue discussing. The Mishnah had said, Af kol menachos ha'yubdin v'chulu. So Tanabanu we have a braisa. The pasuk tells us in regards to the oil that's used for menorah, it says the word zach, and we usually translate it to mean pure. And ain zach el naki. Zach means naki, which is pure. And the way that it becomes pure is that it's placed in a basket and then it gets filtered through, and so no sediment is with it. Now, if we just had this word zach, it would be mashmad that the olives could be ground in a millstone beforehand and would still be considered zach as long as they're placed in this basket. Now, Rabbi Huda says that when the pasuk also tells us kasis, in kasis ela kasush, kasis means kasush, which is pounded in a mortar and not crushed or ground in a millstone. So we see that in order to have shemen zayezach, which is kasis, it's lightly pounded in a mortar and then put in a basket, and the type of oil that comes out and the way that it's filtered through the basket, that's called the shemen zayezach that we're going to use for the menorah. Now, yachl, you might think that hezach kasis pasul menachos, that such olive oil is pasul for menachos because it specifically says it regarding the menorah, and so therefore Talmud Lamer, the pasuk tells us v'sarn soilas bal b'shemen kasis, and that's clearly talking about the menachos. Now, if that's so, then ma Talmud Lamer l'ma'ar. So why does the pasuk tell us zach and kasis l'ma'ar, which is for menorah, mashman not for menachos? And the answer is elo mnei chisachon, it's because of savings. And my chisachon, what does that mean, savings? So Rabbi Blazar explains hatar chas al manim shel Yisrael. Tar is careful regarding yidin's money. If we had to use shemen zayezach, the most purest of olive oils for all the menachos, that would really deplete the bank account, because it's very expensive oil, as we see in the Mishnah. It's really just the first drawing of oil, and all the rest of the oil is not considered zach and kasis. And since menachos use so much oil, it's going to make a real hole in the pocket if we would have to use such oil. And that's what it means, chisachon, tarichas al manim shel Yisrael. So technically, yes, this purest olive oil is able to be used for menachos, but there's no chiyuv, and it's only for the menorah. And we continue discussing, the pasuk tells us, tzavis b'nei Yisrael, command the B'nai Yisrael, v'yikhoi lecha, and they shall take for you, shemen zayezach, this pure olive oil. And Orshul Bar Nachmeni, he explains, what does this mean? Eilecha v'loy li. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, the menorah is being lit for you, not for me. Hashem doesn't need it. Loy lo'ayra ani tzarech. I don't need the menorah's light, says Hashem. And where do we see this? Shulchan b'tzafon, menorah b'darayim. The shulchan is in the north, which is the right side of the Azara. The menorah is on the left side of the Azara. And usually, in a house, you have a light right near your table, so that you could see what you're eating. But Kaviyachol, in Hashem's house, his table is on the right side and his light is on the left side. So obviously, it's not for him, it's for Klal Yisrael to show the Shechina's Shaira. And similarly, Amr Zeka, Amr Belazar, Hashem says, Loy l'achila nitzarech, loy l'ayra nitzarech, I don't need it for eating, I don't need it for its light. This is not for me, says Hashem. And we have another pasuk that tells us, regarding Beis HaMikdash, Vayas l'bayis chaloy nishkufim matumim. The Shlomo HaMelech made for the Beis HaMikdash windows that were wide and that were narrow. And Tanu v'Braisa, shkufim mibifnim, v'atumim mibachotz. And actually, Rashi Ksav Yad switches around the gear saw that shkufen mibachutz va'atumen mibifnim. That means that the window, or the window frame, if you will, was wide on the outside and narrow on the inside. side, and that also shows that loy la'ira nitzarech, that I don't need the light, says Hashem, because usually you want the window to be wider on the inside than on the outside, because if the window frame or the angle of the window frame is wider on the inside, that allows the light to spread more on the inside. But since Hashem doesn't need the light, and it's actually the opposite, the light of what's inside the Beis HaMikdash is shining out to the world, so the windows were narrower inside and wider on the outside. And similarly, the pasuk tells us, Michotz l'parechas ha'edos ba'ayel ma'ed, outside the parechas ha'edos in ayel ma'ed. And why is it called parechas ha'edos? Edos hu l'chol ba'ayelam. This is a testimony to all the people of the world, shashchina shar b'Yisrael, that the shechina rests in Klal Yisrael. And meantime, if you want to say lo'ayra ani tzarech, that I, says Hashem, need the light of the menorah, that's not so, because v'alei kol arba'im shana shalchu Yisrael midbar, all 40 years of the Yidden travel through the midbar, lo halchu el lo'ayrai, didn't they travel by the light of Hashem? They didn't need the light of the menorah. El rather, must be edos hu l'chol ba'ayelam, that it's edos for all the people of the world, shashchina shar b'Yisrael, that the shechina is in Yisrael. Am I edusa? What is this testimony? Some Ravi clarifies, zener ma'ravi, this is the western ner, the western lamp on the menorah, shenoisen b'Hashem and keneged chaverseha, that the same amount of oil is put into it like all the other lamps, and umena ha'yumadlik, that's where the kohen would start lighting the menorah from, and ubaha misayim, that's what he would conclude with, meaning the next day when the menorah is being cleaned out and being prepared to be lit again, that ner ma'ravi was still lit, and that's the edus for the whole world. And now we go on to another Mishnah, continuing to discuss the third ingredient, which we have not yet talked about. Up until now, we've had flour and oil, and now we have wine. So says the Mishnah, me'ayin ha'yim v'inas ha'yayin, where would they bring wine from the Nesachim? So kiduchim va'atulin, alfal yayin, these two places, they produce the best wine, and shnilahen, secondary place was Beis Rimu, Beis Lavan Bahar, and ukvar signa b'beka. So these were three places that were second on the list of producing the greatest wine. Early Kalaratzis ha'yuk sheres, all lands, all areas were kosher to bring wine from. Elamikanu mevin, this is where they would bring from because these were the best places, as we just said. And as we've had by the oil and flour, in mevin, loyim besesvalim, loyim besashlachim, loyim mashinizer benehen, no bringing wine from a field that had to be fertilized or from a field that had to be irrigated or from a vineyard that had other things planted there, because that doesn't produce top quality grapes and mela, not top quality wine. However, mehevi kosher, if he did bring wine from the nesachim from this, it's kosher b'diavad. Also, in mevin, helistioin, no bringing helistioin wine, is when the grapes get a lot of exposure to the sun. The wine produced is very sweet, and that's not to be brought for Nesachim. However, v'mehevi kasher, if it was brought, it's kasher b'diavad. Also, in mevin yashan, devei Rebbe says, no bringing old wine, or zacham mashin, the zacham say it's kasher. Another din, in mevin, no bring wine for Nesachim, loy masoik, not that sweet, v'loy ma'ushan, not that smoked, v'loy ma'voshal, not that's cooked, v'mehevi pasal, if he did do so, it's actually pasal. And also, v'ein mevin, min hadalayos, no bring wine from grapes that were hanging on trellises, those aren't top quality, elmen regulus, except for from lower-lying vines, and also umenakram avudim, from vineyards that are very well-worked. We're going to see what that means. No storing it in large casks, el b'chavis ketanos, rather in smaller barrels. Also, ve'im malan esachavis ad pia, don't fill up the barrel all the way to the top. Why is that? G'deishe reicha noidef, that's where the aroma could waft out. If it's filled all the way to the top, the aroma basically escapes, and there's no room for it in the barrel, so that's why it's not filled up all the way to the top. Another din, ein mevim pia, no using wine from the mouth of the barrel. Why is that? Mipnei peizayin omalaf on top hakmachin, because of the flour. Now, it's not actually flour. There's no flour in wine. This like little white pieces that float to the top. Some translate this as mold. It's basically the part of the wine that you don't want to drink. Also, v'loy mishuleha, no taking wine from the bottom of the barrel for nesachim. Why not? Mipnei hashmarim, because of the sediment that's there. El mevi mishlishim emtsa, rather bring from the middle part of it. And ketzer ubaydek, how do we know where the wine is holding? So a gizbar yoshev akana biyadoi, the gizbar, the treasure of Hektish, he's in charge of this. He sits looking at the barrel. He has a kanne, which is like a measuring stick in his hand. And then there's another person who's opening the spout of the wine barrel. And then Zark HaGir, once the gear came out, which is basically this long line of sediment, right when you open the spout, that's what comes out first. So once that came out of the barrel, Hikish Bakane, the gizbar would strike or tap with his reed. He would either do this to the barrel or to the person himself. That was the indication to turn it off. And we're going to see in the Gemara why he wouldn't say anything. Why didn't he just say, stop? And one last in, Rabbi Yisrael Yudaimer, he says, Shesh by Kmachin, Pasol. If the wine has this Kmachim in it, it has these little white pieces that came from the top of the barrel, it's actually Pasol for Nesachim. Why is that? Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Timimim Yulachem Umenchasam, Timimim Yulachem Viniskehem. And this is not considered Tamim, it's not considered whole and unblemished, and therefore these Nesachim would be Pasol. We're going to stop it for the day, and pick up tomorrow with the Gemara explaining the Mishnah, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.